special edition of The Front. I'm your host, AI. We are doing a special presentation today, this afternoon, on Planet X. We are having our special guest is Sheldon Day, the host of The Light of Day show. It airs every Sunday morning at 12 a.m. on the Orion Talk Radio Network. You can find that link to that network on The Front's new website, frontradio.net. Just waiting for our guest to call in. I spoke with him a few times today, and he's going to call in a little while, probably between now and 10 minutes after the hour. So until that time, you know, think of some questions. Basic rundown of what Planet X is, for those of you that don't know, it is a what you call a brown dwarf, which is a big iron ball, a sister planet or sun to our sun that has a different orbit around our sun and enters our solar system on a circular pattern. I'm not sure. I've read conflicting reports on the length of the orbit. So we're going to get the answers to that from Sheldon today. But that is the basic premise of what Planet X is, and the reason for the hoopla about it is that it's supposedly getting closer and closer to our planet. What it does when it gets close to our planet is basically it just trashes the place, to be honest with you. Massive devastation. But it's not that, you know, everyone will die or anything like that. It's, I think if people use their heads, if this thing is really happening, that there is probably a decent chance for survival. I mean, there has to be because it's been documented before. So obviously somebody made it. So I want to encourage people today to call in, ask questions. No question will be stupid, okay? I don't know much about this, so I am going to sit back and let Sheldon kind of give us the info. I do have a list of questions to ask him, but if you want to call in and ask questions, please do. The number is 1-917-889-3064. Once again, the number is 1-917-889-3064. I think I have Sheldon on the line right now, so let me go to that and see if it's him. Hello, is this Sheldon?
Good afternoon, Darren.
Hey, Sheldon, how are you?
Okay.
So how are you doing today at 12 o'clock out there in Arizona? Are you ready to give some people some Planet X info?
I sure am.
All right. Okay, now I don't know a whole lot about this subject. I know a little bit, and I've been talking about it over the past few episodes. I may ask some, you know, ridiculous questions, but like I told my audience over the last few shows, no question is stupid. Let's just go with Planet X 101 to start and see where that leads us. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So can you give us, I just tried to preface what Planet X was. I called it a brown dwarf, and I said it moves in a circular orbit around our sun and enters our solar system, you know, in every so often. What is the orbit time for Planet X?
Well, there is some debate out there on the elliptical orbit, but it's generally about 3,600 and some odd years, but it could be as high as 42 or 4,400 years, according to Professor Jim McCanny.
Okay.
Yeah, this object is more than likely a brown dwarf. Me and John DiNardo, Gilbert Erickson, and I think even Marshall Masters, we all tend to think that it's a brown dwarf. Even though it's called Planet X, some of the people out there might think it's a planet, but it's really not. Planet X, what that means, it's a celestial object that has not been identified by the official astronomical community, but of course, to those of us who know what's going on, it has been identified already.
Right. But as usual, they're not going to give you the official version. I mean, the real version. They'll give you the official version,
yeah.
Which is usually nothing.
yeah, and we're, we can't rely on NASA to give us any pictures. I mean, look at what they did with the Apollo moon landings. Look at how they faked all that stuff. And even Professor McCanny has stated that the astronomical community is under orders not to let the public know of impending cataclysms.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, people who have this information and could actually validate it, that would probably be the biggest secret in the world for the most part, wouldn't you think?
Well, according to John Moore, this is the guy that really woke me up to this reality. According to him, he says that the global warming thing has always been a cover for this incoming brown dwarf object. It's one of the most highly classified subjects that most of the major governments are dealing with.
Okay. Now, see, we can get into details real quick, and I really want to, but could we first just get an idea of, I wanted to ask you how you first heard about Planet X, and because I know we spoke a few times prior to the show, and you told me that you were a big UFO researcher for a long time, and then you kind of turned it into the Planet X research. So how did you hear about Planet X, and was it a natural progression from researching UFOs to get to Planet X? Did you find it kind of like a – did it kind of tie together? Did it dovetail together? Or?
Well, I don't think there's no definitive answer there. I was listening to Professor Jim McCanny's shows, and he was alluding to this off and on during his shows. I was also listening to John Moore's shows over on Republic Broadcasting Network, and he was talking about this, and I was really starting to pay attention to John Moore in the latter part of last year. And here's a guy, he's a former Green Beret, certified firearms instructor. He's been a private investigator in Missouri for 40 years, so this is a guy that knows how to look for evidence and interview witnesses. And John Moore has interviewed these former U.S. Navy people that have were privy to these classified briefings that showed these what the future coastlines on the United States are going to look like. And coincidentally, John Moore still teaches a lot of these Navy veterans that are living in Missouri. He has regular contact with a lot of these Navy people, and it's something because the U.S. Navy considers the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as one of the safe havens.
Right, yes, and that's according to these, I've seen some of these U.S. Navy flood maps. That's kind of what you're referring to, right?
Yeah, and there's a map put out by Gordon Michael Scallion, too. I think the Navy's map shows Wisconsin's pretty much all gone, but Gordon Michael Scallion's map doesn't show Wisconsin all gone, and that's the state I'm formerly from, by the way.
Well, it's a good thing you're not there anymore. So, hey, you've mentioned John Moore a few times. I just wanted to remind my audience, I have John Moore coming on the show, on the Monday show, 6
great.
O'clock. Yeah.
Great.
So, you know, and the thing, you know, you've mentioned him, and he's a guy that I would think would take a pretty nuts and bolts approach to pretty much anything he does. With his background, you know, we wouldn't expect a guy with being a former Green Beret and military intelligence, homicide investigator, combat guy, you know, all that stuff, to get into any kind of, alternative type, stuff, information. You know, people like that usually take a pretty nuts and bolts approach. So, you know, when somebody like that says, hey, there's something here, you know, I agree with you. You know, you'd start to pay attention, which is one of the reasons why I want to have him on.
You can pretty much take it to the bank. I mean, he's a pretty earth-grounded guy. He's really serious about his research.
And he had no apprehension about coming on the show whatsoever. He said absolutely, without a doubt. Is there any time? I mean, I know you can't answer questions specifically, Sheldon. I don't think anybody who has this information or who has been researching this really can, but we can go into estimations and stuff from info that we look at. Do you think there's any type of a timeline. I mean, we're watching the Earth change. We see these natural events happen. You and I were talking earlier today about the sinkhole that just popped up in Milwaukee, and you sent me information earlier in the week about, you know, all the sinkholes that have been going on. It was pretty coincidental that we wake up this morning and we see that headline, you know, swallowing the Escalade.
Right, there was a sinkhole in Milwaukee yesterday during their massive flooding they had, and sure enough, here in my research, I also find that there was a sinkhole in Milwaukee back on June 24th. So,
really?
Yeah, these things are popping up all over the place. It's and talking about flooding, this is one of the precursor signs that Planet X is inbound, is when you start seeing massive flooding all over the place like we've been seeing.
Yeah, and we definitely have been. And there's really been, in my opinion, there's been a pretty decent media blackout on the whole thing. I mean, just right in our own backyard down in Mississippi with the massive flooding down there, barely any news coverage on the whole thing. You know, and that was, what, last month?
Right. And there was that flood that hit that camping resort in Arkansas.
Yep, that too, big flash flood. And also Poland, I think it was right in Warsaw, displaced over 1 million people. This was a month ago, if that we didn't hear about. So let's get into, as Planet X, it's primarily made of iron, right?
It's primarily an iron ball, but to go back to answer your question, you wanted to know more about a timeline.
Keep me on track, Sheldon.
Putting out a specific date is pretty dangerous to do. There is no exact date for the arrival of this thing, but John Moore and Professor McCanny are in agreement that most of the Earth changes will be pretty much finished or over with by the end of that December 2012 date, that it's not going to matter anymore. And what I think is that the elite really don't know the exact date this thing's going to get here, because as it's out by Jupiter right now, it's apparently being locked up by the gravitational field of Jupiter. It's like two iron balls that are tugging and are pulling at each other, and it's
right.
Having a hard time piercing out of the orbit of Jupiter as it tries to pierce the ecliptic table. The ecliptic table is the plane. Imagine an imaginary plane that all the planets orbit around our sun. Well, it's coming up south of the plane of the ecliptic as it's between Jupiter and the main asteroid belt. And there's indicators that this Planet X is indeed out by Jupiter, because we had a object slam into Jupiter last summer, and then early part of last month there was a fireball that hit Jupiter and was reported by Brian Williams on MSNBC, and then there was an asteroid.
Yes, I've seen that clip.
Yeah, and then there was an asteroid that came down in the skies over, it was either Alabama or Georgia, back in the middle part of May, and the scientists were confirming that rock had come from the asteroid belt. So, as it's out by Jupiter, it's apparently dislodging some asteroids.
Yeah, well,
John Moore says that as Planet X also has a debris field of rocks a quarter of a million miles on either side of it that accompany it.
Right. Yes, I've read that. Now we've seen a few of these things come in. Now you referred to something down in Alabama. Wasn't there another like flaming meteor that came across the skies? There was a few different camera shots of it. I thought that was up in I thought it was Michigan area, but I could be wrong. Am I thinking about the one you just mentioned?
No, this one you're thinking of was seen over the Midwest. It was seen in like either five or seven Midwestern states, including Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin.
Right, and barely any media play on that again.
Yeah.
And it was pretty impressive from what the footage that I saw. I mean,
yeah, I seen that footage too. That was pretty impressive.
I also just recently found out there was a meteor earlier in this year hit somewhere in Arizona. I was listening to some an interview with Lucas, and he had mentioned that. Do you know anything about that? It took out a bridge and shattered windows and all this? I didn't hear anything about it. I was just listening to some stuff prior to the show. Did you do anything about that?
I know who Lucas is, but I don't recall anything on that. I'll have to research that.
Yeah, I would think you would know, especially from your state. You would have probably been all over that. What I meant by a timeline, I didn't mean to ask for a date. But as it gets closer, will there be more signs? Because it messes with the electromagnetic or the electromagnetic field of Planet X messes with the sun, which in turn messes with our planet. Am I right about that?
Yeah, there's going to be massive solar storms as this object gets closer to us, and they're trying to leak it out on movies like Solar Crisis and the movie Knowing, and it's like their twisted sense of mentality of telling the public before they all get wiped out what's going to happen. Now we got a new show coming out called The Colony at the end of this month. It talks, it's supposed to be about a group of survivalists after a post-apocalyptic world. So
yeah.
They're conditioning us in the TV shows and movies for this stuff.
Oh, without a doubt. I always say that that movies mimic reality, or foretell reality, I should say. Now, as it gets closer and starts to affect the sun, which obviously the Earth changes that we're seeing right now are because of its effect on the sun, or that's what we're thinking anyways. As it gets closer and those effects become greater, will we ever be able to see it? And it probably won't be a good thing, but will we ever be able to see it with the naked eye?
Yeah, at some point we're going to be able to see it with the naked eye, and I can't remember how long we have until we first see it with the naked eye, until the biggest effects of the cataclysms occur. I think it's something like, maybe a few weeks.
A few weeks after things start happening, you mean? Or bigger things, I should say?
From the time we're able to see it with our naked eye until the biggest effects, the biggest cataclysms start happening.
Ah, okay. All right. And I've read that it supposedly would look like two suns in our sky. Did I read that right, or is that what you know? Or
that's something you bring that up, because on the movie 2010, have you ever seen 2001, A Space Odyssey?
The original one, yes.
Yeah, well, there was a sequel put out 2010, and Marshall Masters says in that movie it shows two suns in the sky, and the movie is 2010.
Hmm. You know what? Now that you mention that, I read something about that, and I meant to go back and check that out, and I think I'll probably end up doing that this evening, actually. All right. So now, do you think there's any? And I'm going to be all over. I'm going to be all over the questions. But do you think there's any tie-in to, say, extraterrestrial life, and this whole event?
Yeah, according to a lot of people, the UFO agenda is all connected with this, and this is what I'm starting to think, that they're going to, as Planet X gets closer, they're going to start throwing out this Zachariah Sitchin stuff that, yeah, this is Nibiru, this has the Anunnaki on it, but they're actually here to protect us, and this is when they're going to launch this staged, faked UFO/ET thing. This invasion, they may use NASA's Project Bluebeam to carry this out. Mankind's going to have some kind of sense of hope if they see this thing in the sky for a while and it's not going away. So this is when they might throw in this Zachariah Sitchin thing that's Nibiru in the sky with aliens on it.
Right, right. Well, let's give the listeners a little background on what you just talked about, the Anunnaki. Let me give it a shot. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just starting this stuff. The Anunnaki are supposedly an alien race that were in contact with the ancient Sumerian race. Am I correct?
Right. They came here, and the man was used as slaves to mine gold for them. Correct.
Right. Right. That's what I read. Yes, we were formed, and that was basically our origin. If I'm not. Am I right about that?
I don't know. I'm not into that stuff really anymore, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, we throw out these terms like Anunnaki, and if people haven't heard of it, we just got to explain it a little bit. So, what about, so we kind of determined, and I agree with you, that the 2012 date is probably disinfo. If you're waiting around for 2012, there'd be a lot of things happening before that.
Yeah, and you know what, Darren, I first heard about this 2012 date being put out as disinformation by Professor Jim McCanney. It makes sense, because if the government puts out a date like they did for the Y2K scare back in 2000, people will think that, oh, we still have 2 years left to prepare, so we don't have to do nothing right now. But,
right.
You know, if all this, the Earth cataclysms start really getting severe before 2012, well, then people aren't going to be prepared, and that's what the elite want. They don't want us to be prepared.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if the mainstream media reported on every single natural disaster that's been going on over the past, say, year, if it was, you know, the massive weather report every night on the news, I think people would start to get the hint. But because they block things out, like the floods in Mississippi, like the floods in Poland, like the floods in China right now, I mean, I just did a story last night on last night's show about the oil spill in China. Nobody around here even knows that there's a massive oil spill in China also.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it, they don't say this too was also caused by an explosion, but they don't give any other details about it. So I'm wondering if the same thing happened, if it was an explosion after trying to drill into the seabed floor. And, you know, you and I had talked about the seabed's rising, and, you know, this is probably what caused that whole thing, and maybe being used as a cover-up for those changes in the seabed floor now.
Yeah, the seabed floor in the Coral Sea was apparently rising about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and sure enough, there were two really big earthquakes northeast of Australia here within the last few days, measuring well over 7 on the Richter scale. And I did want to elaborate also about this Gulf oil spill thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
What me and my Planet X researcher friend John DiNardo thinks is happening out in the Gulf, and you're not going to hear this on hardly any radio show, but we think that, see, what my friend John DiNardo, he has a friend that's a Persian Gulf War veteran, and then that guy has a friend that's in the U.S. Geological Survey, and the guy in the U.S. Geological Survey told the Persian Gulf War veteran that about 3 years ago that they were imaging the seabed floor in the Gulf of Mexico, and they seen that land masses would start rising in the Gulf of Mexico. So we think that this is this undersea asphalt volcano that's erupted. It started rising. And, what they did was they were great oil drilling opportunities, because they knew that this undersea asphalt volcano would be rising, so they took advantage of that. And they were willing to let it go out of control. And the government wants to be blamed for this disaster in the Gulf, because what's happening is this is a natural disaster being caused by Planet X, as this undersea oil volcano rises. And they'd rather have the public pointing the fingers at the government for causing this, because they don't want the public to know that these are natural disasters that are starting to spring up all over the place. Because if the government would just let the, you know, were to tell the public, oh, this is a natural disaster in the Gulf, then people would stop paying their taxes, stop paying their mortgages, and they'd say, screw you, government, I'm not going to listen and obey you anymore. I'm just going to put myself into a survival mode. So they didn't want that to happen, so they're trying to make this look like, yeah, this was an accident and that the government did it.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, what really could they say? I mean, what could they, I mean, they can't tell people. They really can't alert the general populace. I mean, they should, I think, morally, but from their perspective, you know, you can see why they wouldn't. There's nothing they can do about it. And it, like you said, it would cause basic, you know, complete anarchy. They'd lose total control, which probably
they don't want to lose control. Correct. Yep.
Yeah, and that would probably infringe on their plans and their ability to get to wherever they need to go. You know, so I mean, yes, yeah, so if and you know that always makes me go back to the whole, you know, the plan of the global elite and the Georgia Guidestones, where they want to maintain a Earth population of 500 million. You know, and I always thought to myself, there's no way that they can do that themselves. There's just too many people. You know, there would be too much of a pushback. But factoring in a natural event like Planet X, you know, that would pretty much do the trick.
Yeah, you know, even if Planet X is just is a big psyops, it's a hoax, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be an asteroid. It could be a real extraterrestrial invasion. But the end result for sure is going to be massive population reduction. That part is for sure. I was told this by a talk show host on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and he doesn't want his name publicly connected to this.
Yeah, well, I agree. You know, you're right. The details really don't matter, and it's just, you know, something's on its way. There's something that's being hidden. I mean, I definitely agree with that. You know, let's see here. So, have you heard anything about the September 28th, 2010 date?
I know. What's up with that?
You know, I was reading some stuff yesterday and today, and I kind of skimmed it, so I don't really have a lot of details on it. But supposedly, there's been a lot of that date, 9/28/10, in a lot of media, a lot of movies. I think even in the movie 2012, there was a lot of references to that date. And this is coming from that Lucas interview that I was listening to. So I don't know. I don't know details about it, really, because I was kind of hoping you did. So.
Well, I also heard Lucas put this, I think he was being interviewed on the Lee Rogers show. He mentioned something about the early part of 2013, there's some type of symbolic hint on the Georgia Guidestones that maybe all this stuff's going to happen right after that December 2012 date. You see, they could psychologically condition us by getting the masses to think, December 2012 is the end of the world and then nothing happens, and then everybody rules out all this Planet X stuff and all these end of the world scenarios, and then bam, a few months later in 2013, everything hits us. You could be right about that.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. To me, it just seems like the weather's. I mean, just me personally, where I live in New England, the storms that we have had lately have been crazy. You know,
I heard you've been having some really severe heat there.
Heat, severe lightning, rain. You know, just a little more on the intense side. And I mean, you know, I covered record cold temperatures in Peru. People have died, like 170 people died in the past week from record, like 32 below zero or something like, I don't know. I don't remember the details of it. It was only last night, but I still don't know.
I was told 2 days ago by a friend up in Holbrook, Arizona, that they were seeing single-digit temperatures down in Buenos Aires. And this is what we're going to see as Planet X gets closer, bizarre weather phenomena. They had to, here's just two items to throw out at you. They had to modify the ultraviolet index scale just recently, and that's because of the increase in solar activity.
So they dropped it? They lowered it?
No, now instead of being 10 or 12 max on the ultraviolet scale, I think it can go up to 14.
Oh, okay.
And then back in the early part of 2007, they had to enhance the scale for measuring tornadoes. And then I've heard Professor McCanny say that we're eventually going to be seeing hurricanes come over land more often. So these are just little indicators that the weather is undergoing extreme changes and modification as Planet X gets closer.
Yeah. Well, and so they up the spectrum for tornadoes and ultraviolet, and they lower the Richter scale in 2007.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing I would like to mention about the Richter scale.
Yeah.
I learned this from John Moore, from listening to Mr. Moore, that the back when Charles Richter died back in the mid-80s, the powers to be knew that these earthquakes would be getting more severe 25 years into the future. So what they're doing now is they're downgrading the earthquake scale by one full number. So whatever you're hearing the USGS put out, it's actually in actuality it's one full point number higher.
Right. Now, what's the significance of that point?
Because then the public wouldn't.
No. I mean, in measuring the Richter scale, and I. Again, I read it. I didn't retain it, so I was hoping you knew. I actually had this question for you. The point differential, say, you know, because we'll use Borrego, California last week, 5.5 on the Richter scale. Now, back pre-2007, that would have been a 6.5. Now, so just by them changing the Richter scale and putting out lowering it by one number, what do you know the difference in intensity or power in an earthquake between, say, a 6.5 and a 5.5?
For some problem, I can't remember, but John DiNardo and John Moore know that. I think it's a 1,000% increase when you go, like, from a 5 to a 5.1.
I think you're right.
John Moore, he knows.
Yeah, but I think you got it there, because I remember that 1,000% when I was reading that information. Now, we also have, what do you think, as it gets closer, do you think the biggest natural event issue for people will be flooding, fire, winds? I mean, what do you think?
I don't really think the elite themselves know how bad it's going to get. That's why they're showing us different scenarios on movies and TV shows, like, on the movie Knowing, we have the solar scorching, the solar storms. And on the movie 2012, we have they concentrate on earthquakes and massive floods. I don't really think they know themselves how bad it's going to get, because there's so many variables involved, when they're trying to measure things and that.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's all speculation, right? Because nobody that we know has been through this before, so we can only really speculate. You mentioned... James McCanney. Who is he? What are his credentials? I've listened to his program a few times, and I hear you mention his name a lot. And I'm just wondering who is he? And I'm asking because I really don't know.
He's a former highly credentialed scientist that used to be employed at Cornell University. He sort of looked at as a renegade in the astronomical community because of his theories. One thing he puts out is this dirty snowball comet model that NASA tries to feed the masses. This is not true. Comets are not dirty little icy snowballs. They're actually an electrical phenomena. So there's a lot about the history of comets that ain't being told to the public. And the passage of comets, by the way, is one of the most highly classified matters that they don't want the public to learn about as well.
Well, didn't they? I thought I read about this last year. Didn't they cut off or disallow the public from viewing space from, is it observatories, that the public used to have access to, say in like a field trip or a tour type scenario? Do you recall anything about that?
Oh yeah, the middle. I think it was June of last year. The military issued an edict. That's actually NASA, because NASA's the military. They put out a new policy that all incoming space rocks will now become classified data.
Hmm.
Is that what you're thinking of?
I don't know. It's one more piece to the puzzle of secrecy. I'll have to look into it again. But I remember it struck me as funny, and I think it was last summer that I had read that it was no longer permitted for the public to look into space through observatories.
I could throw this in as maybe a possible dot connector on. Professor McCanny mentioned this. This was about 2 years ago. There were two or three Earth volcanoes that went off down in Chile, and this is in the southern hemisphere. And keep in mind that the prime viewing areas to the Sea Planet X are at the highly classified installations down in the southern hemisphere, like the European Southern Observatory in Chile. We got the South Pole Telescope. We got the newly launched Lucifer Telescope at Mount Graham down here in Arizona.
Lucifer Telescope?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Is that the official name?
Yeah, it is. And
who owns that? Who built that? Whose is that? I mean, who owns it? Is that the Vatican?
Well, I got the article here. It says, large binocular telescope partners in the U.S., Germany, and Italy announced April 21st that the first of two new innovative near-infrared cameras for the large binocular telescope is now available to astronomers for scientific observations at the telescope in Mount Graham in southeast Arizona. After more than a decade of design, manufacturing, and testing, the new instrument, dubbed Lucifer 1, provides a powerful tool to gain spectacular insights into the universe. Lucifer actually stands for Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research.
So here's yes, I'm sure it does.
Telescope that utilizes infrared, and this is what's required to see Planet X, because it's such a cold body that you have to have infrared or ultraviolet to see it, because it's also surrounded in a massive dust cloud. But back to what I was saying about these volcanoes going off in Chile, which are in the southern hemisphere, McCanny thinks that they use their weather warfare technology to set off those volcanoes, because then the atmosphere would become obscured with all the ash and dust, so people in those southern latitudes wouldn't be able to see Planet X in the month of May. And the month of May is one of the prime time viewing for Planet X.
Really? Only from the southern hemisphere, right? That's what you said?
Right.
Okay. And is that that would explain the isn't there an observatory in Australia that is basically dubbed the Planet X Observatory, or
it's called the Wormwood installation.
The Wormwood, there we go. The Wormwood
According
installation.
To Marshall Masters, that would be the Wormwood installation in Australia would be the first observatory to officially spot Wormwood.
Huh. And so we see, figuring this stuff out, people listening out there, you have to, like Sheldon said, you have to kind of connect the dots. So another dot connector would be possibly the alphabet agencies all kind of scurrying and moving, right?
Oh, yeah. John Moore will tell you all about that on Monday, but I could sort of give your audience a preview on that. The CIA moved their entire domestic division out to Denver about 2 or 3 years ago. And the EPA has closed down all four of their libraries. And we got Monsanto in Denver. We got the Denver International Airport with the murals on the walls there telling us what's going to happen in the future.
Yes.
But here's a critical dot connector that I stumbled upon, and I brought this to John Moore's attention because, he's talking about these alphabet soup agencies moving out to Denver. Well, I stumbled upon this. Back in late August 2007, 3 years ago, NASA started the process of relocating their own people. And this contract, which was awarded to an outside subsidiary of Prudential, gave NASA 3 years to move their own people. So this would have been up until this would have been up until the end of last year. Now here we see we only have two more shuttle flights left. So NASA themselves must be aware that something big is about to happen, whether the whole, you know, most of Florida is going to be wiped out, where they launch the shuttles from at the Kennedy Space Center. And we also have a few NASA facilities along the Gulf Coast. So this was a major discovery on my part, connecting the dots with the CIA moving out to Denver, because here we got NASA moving their own people now.
Yeah, and I mean, basically NASA's getting just pretty much shut down, I mean, as far as the public's concerned, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you look at their post-space shuttle era plans, NASA's, after the shuttles are retired, they're going to be studying climate change. Well, Planet X is behind the climate change. And we also have Obama down in Florida, oh, this must have been about 2 months ago, announcing that he wants to send astronauts to land on an asteroid.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should send him up to land on an asteroid. you know, geez, I don't know. There's so many things here.
Well, keep in mind, this ain't a matter of the topic of Planet X. It's not a matter of finding hardcore bulletproof evidence that, yep, there it is, it's out there. This is a matter of connecting dots and finding circumstantial evidence, which is just mountainous. It's just voluminous, by the way.
Well, I mean, Sheldon, we had. And I think we talked about it briefly this past week. You know, 3 weeks ago in the Huffington Post, there was an article released by NASA, NOAA, and the National Academy of Science. Basically, it was a report and warning people to prepare for massive solar storms. I actually remember the final paragraph of the article. Said the time to prepare is now.
Yeah, let me give you some mainstream news leaks about Planet X inbound passage. I found this out on my own on the Arizona Daily Star, dated December 17th of last year. The Mount Hopkins Observatory, this was in big letters on our front page paper here in Tucson, we see a super Earth. Well, then this Planet X object, it's a lot bigger than Earth. It's actually bigger than Jupiter, but they have to feed us some disinformation. They're not going to tell us the flat truth about it, so they're like hinting at what's out there. And then the Huffington Post here, they come out on June 16th and buried about four paragraphs into this article put out by the Huffington Post. They're talking about this brown dwarf star.
Yep, I remember that paragraph in that article, too. And it doesn't really even dovetail in with the article that well. It's just this kind of a paragraph they threw in there. Do you agree with that? I mean, the how it was kind of put in the article? It was all solar storms and that kind of thing. And then it was kind of like, you know, some people think there's a brown dwarf out there and going to come by. But then on to the next thing. You know, it was kind of like...
Right. The article focused on solar storms, but they buried it in the fourth paragraph about the brown dwarf star. Well, as things get worse, people are going to focus on solar storms and solar scorching, but the root cause behind the sun showing us what it's doing, it's being caused by Planet X.
Yeah, right. So my point in bringing that up was to people listening out there, you know, it's hard for people to believe me. It's hard for people to believe you because, you know, the majority of people want some type of official or some person they believe is important or whatever to give them the deal.
Right. You people know? Want dates. They want specific dates and they want pictures. They always want really hardcore evidence. And that's a problem with mixing this UFO stuff in with Planet X is, I'm not saying you're doing it, but this helps to discredit the issue, and that's what the elite want. They want this to be looked upon as the most ridiculous topic so people won't pay attention to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, my point in bringing that up was that people out there, you do have an official word. I mean, if you don't believe... You know, people that really have no agenda, like myself and like Sheldon, you know, we have nothing to gain by having you believe any of this or, you know.
That's another thing, Darren, I'd like to interject with.
Yeah.
I've discovered that a lot of these Planet X researchers, they're into the Bible, they quote Bible verses, they're former military, and these are red flags to me. People that are the religious people and the military people are the most easily programmed to put out disinformation. But here I am. I'm just an independent researcher. I can think for myself, and I'm not into the Bible. I'm not former military, and I'm seeing this stuff.
Right. Yeah. No. And I'm in the same boat as you, Sheldon. I'm definitely not military. So yeah. I mean, it's a common sense approach to the whole thing, and looking at the info that's been put out there. And you know, like I said, the reason that this whole thing makes so much sense to me is because I've been doing, you know, research on the New World Order and the globalist agenda for years and years. This kind of just tied the whole thing together for me.
Yeah, this is the way I see it. I've heard John Morse mention this, and I find a lot of truth in it. When the powers to be actually were satisfied that, yes, they had indeed found Planet X, what the elite did was incorporate their already pre-existing plans in with the passage of Planet X. So all the reason they're putting all these police state laws into place are because they need to implement this stuff in case the masses were to find out, because then there'd be mass panic everywhere. But they also are putting all the police state measures into place because after Planet X passes, there's going to be survivalists out there. There's going to be people forming survival communities, and the elite are going to have to handle this in some way. And since there's only expected to maybe be 10% of the population left, it'll be a lot more easier to control that 10% remaining if they have all these police state measures already in place.
Right, and there you have your world population of 500 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, how's this for evidence? People want evidence. Well, there were a number of people that have been murdered that were connected to the discovery of Planet X. Back in the mid-80s, we had at least 6 mainstream publications that put out information about Planet X, how far it was, etc. John Morse says that they actually dispatched the Pioneer 10 spacecraft back in the late 70s to go out looking for this thing, and they finally found it. Well, me and John DiNardo have also found this out, that there's been a few staff members that have, what me and him think they've been murdered, but they were connected to the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. Robert S. Harrington, the chief supervising astronomer at the U.S. Naval Observatory, NASA actually appointed Harrington to go looking for this object, and then all of a sudden he dies of a very fast-acting esophageal cancer, I think back in 91.
Oh, that's just coincidence, Sheldon.
Yeah, it's just coincidence, right?
Yeah, it's like the guy heading to court over the moon landing, and he got stuck on train tracks and hit by a train. Just coincidence. It's all coincidence.
But I have an article here. If folks want to send me an email, I'll send you the link to this about other people murdered for exposing Planet X. There were also 2 other staff members linked to that observatory. They also died. These other 2 guys also died of cancer. Then we have Chuck Schrammick, who was talking about the companion to the Hale-Bopp comet back in the mid-90s. He also died of a fast-acting lower back cancer.
Hmm. So that's the official story.
Yeah, right. And you remember the Heaven's Gate suicide?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, those people were all murdered. They showed us on TV that they all committed suicide, but the reason the elite had to murder that Heaven's Gate cult out in California is because they were wanting the masses to know that there was a companion to the Hale-Bopp comet, and the elite weren't really sure if this was Planet X, so they had to murder them people, because otherwise that Heaven's Gate cult would have told the public. So you know, the elite weren't sure if it was Planet X, so it's just better to murder these people than take any chances to let the public find out it's Planet X.
Right. Well, you know, back then the internet wasn't what it was, so you know, I guess people would have. I mean, some people listened to them because they had a group, you know, But now, I mean, I don't think that tactic would work for any group of people now, because they would be slammed as, you know, crazies all over the media, you know. Just like the Huatree militia. It has nothing to do with Planet X, I'm just saying. You know, big hoopla, they were going to try to take over the government, and then they all got released, no charges, no big deal. Just a big demonization of them and militia, just to discredit. So it probably would have, you know, taken the same route with that cult as well, if that's what we were going to call them. You know, that was what they were called in the media. But
I don't recall that militia. Where were they?
I think it was in Michigan, the Huatree militia. It was a story, you know, the past 6 months. Yeah, they were supposedly, we were told on mainstream that they were going to kill police officers and they wanted to overthrow the government. There was 8 of them, okay? So, wow. Yeah, and they got busted. The feds came down heavy on them. Huge media blitz on mainstream for weeks. And it kind of quietly faded away, but yet the mainstream media did not cover the fact that they were all released, no charges, nothing happened to anybody. So that was just part of, in my opinion, that was just part of the, you know, the whole tactic to keep you distracted. You know, we know there's a demonization of militia, what's going on in the country and all that stuff now, so that's all it was used for. But my point in bringing that up was that if a cult or a group of people wanted to warn other people, and that's why they were murdered, you know, back then that would have made sense, because the internet wasn't available like it is now, whereas now, you know, all the information's out there for people to look. You just got to look.
Right.
You know. So what do you think about the Norway spiral and connection to an event like that? What's your personal take on the Norway spiral? Besides it being pretty cool.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Lucas that it's what he thinks it is. I can't remember what he thinks it is, though, but I tend to agree with his viewpoint on it. Do you remember what he said about it?
What I got out of it was it was basically a sign. Where that sign comes from, I don't know.
What's interesting that he mentions in that presentation that it's also those spirals are carved into ancient rocks. Maybe it is some kind of warning or signal.
Well, right. That was my point when talking to, you know, friends about this. I'm like, you know, look, it's not like sending a text message, you know, that doesn't really matter. You have to carve this in stone. It takes you a while. Obviously, you think there's some. It's fairly important. To make stone carvings. So I would just imagine that stone carvings weren't just useless chatter, is what I was basically trying to get at. You know, I mean, they had similar sightings to things like that over Japan, Australia, and China. But it, to me, they looked similar, and they looked more similar to the Norway spiral than they looked to anything else. But they still did not look the same as the Norway spiral to me. Have you ever seen any footage of those spirals?
No, I'm only aware of the one over Norway and this recent one over Australia that Lucas mentioned.
Yeah, well, I think about 10 years ago there was one over Japan, and last year there was one over China. But again, it did not have the intensity of the Norway spiral. And who knows, maybe the intensity has to do with the approach. I don't know. You know, just wanted to get your thoughts on that whole thing. I have a question in chat for you.
Sure.
How exactly can one prepare without moving to, say, Denver? Is it safe to assume that all the coastal states would be removed?
Yeah, John Moore will get into depth with you on that. According to him, you have to be at least, I think, 100 miles within any coastline to be safe from this cataclysmic event, and you have to be at least 400 feet above sea level, according to the U.S. Navy. And I've also watched this video that this remote viewer, Ed Dames, put out called The Kill Shot. This talks about meteor storms hitting the shuttle and, of course, in one of the shuttles to come down. He says that what he thinks crop circles are like markers for survival zones to go to when he calls it a celestial object, passes to Earth. because this is in, I guess they're above 40 degrees north latitude. But I have to study this more because this doesn't make sense. As Planet X does its arc over as it gets closer to us, I think it's going to affect the northern hemisphere more than the southern hemisphere. So why people are staying in the northern hemisphere doesn't make sense to me. I have to research that further.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the same thing because you and I talked about that, and I asked you about the supposed trajectory of it, and supposedly it's going to come from the other side of the sun underneath it and up over our planet. So, yeah, I agree with you. If you're just thinking about it, it seems like it would be closest to the planet as it crossed the equator up over the northern hemisphere and, you know, subsequently causing the most damage, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's another guy you might want to interview by the name of Gilbert Erickson. He says he says that the planet X, he calls it Wormwood, but me and John DiNardo call it Planet X. He says it's out along right ascension 18 hours on the celestial sphere. That's the current location, approximate location of Planet X.
Okay. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds like somebody that would know that stuff could check that out.
And he also claims to have some he claims to have had some classified inside sources about Wormwood, but they haven't been very forthcoming with him, he says.
Okay. I have another question in chat for you, Sheldon.
Sure.
Why haven't millions of amateur astronomers given us a picture of Planet X yet? And I think I can answer part of that. Well, you can only see it with infrared, number one, but what else would that be?
Yeah, most of the amateurs, according to Gilbert Erickson, they don't have the infrared optics adapted to their telescopes. Plus, this thing is surrounded by a massive dust cloud. And you have to be down in the southern hemisphere to even think about seeing it.
Right. Well, I think, obviously as it gets closer, things like that will probably start coming out, you know, from amateurs. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, that's a big question a lot of people are asking. There should be thousands or millions of astronomers seeing it. But keep in mind, it's surrounded by a massive dust cloud, and it's in the infrared or ultraviolet. That's what you need to see it.
Yeah, well, Google probably blacked out that part of space so people can't see it. So
that's another thing. I think they've been launching all these space shuttle missions for it. You know this? You ever heard of this guy Bart Sobral? He exposed the Apollo astronauts.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Well, I interviewed him on my show one time, and he thinks that. That's what they've been doing with all these space shuttle missions. They've been watching something coming in, and that seems to make sense to me, because why do they have to launch all these shuttles, and all they're doing is just studying a few experiments and floating into the space station. There's got to be something bigger going on there. And sure enough, back in the early 80s, remember they were launching a lot of highly classified Pentagon shuttle flights?
Right.
Well, sure enough, on one of those flights, I can't remember which one it was, but one of the payload for one of them classified flights was called the Orion package, and this is where Planet X may have been discovered, was the Orion constellation. So that may be a dot connector. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I think I read something about that too. That I read something about Orion constellation and Planet X, like it was in that direction, but. But we can see that on the northern hemisphere, so that wouldn't really make sense, right?
I don't know if that's a definitive answer or not, because Gilbert Erickson says that's disinformation. It was not discovered in Orion.
Yeah, see, I mean, because like I can go out there tonight and see Orion, so
it's really hard sifting through all the BS with this stuff, because there's so much disinformation the elite want to have out there, because they don't want people to figure this out. They want the population reduced.
Right, right. And that's, you know, and that's why we have to have open discussion like this about it, because, you know, like you said, you're probably not going to get hard definitive evidence until it can no longer be denied, And at that point, I think it would probably be evident to a lot more people. But like I said before, you do have, for people out there that need official statements from officials, you do have NASA, NOAA, and National Academy of Science warning you of massive solar storms that could knock out the grid for a decade. So, you know, we had that big one called the...
Yeah, at first they were saying them solar storms would happen in 2012. Now they're putting the date to 2013. It's like they want us to think, oh, it's getting farther off in the horizon when this will happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I thought I read in the Huffington Post article, I thought it said sometime between, anytime between now and 2012. And that brings me to this new sunspot that is visible with the naked eye. Have you heard about this? Sunspot 1089.
Yeah, I think I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the newest sunspot as we're circling around, and it's pointing towards us. You can actually see it with the naked eye. Nobody look at the sun with your naked eye looking for it. You'll hurt your eye. But you can look at photographs of it. And actually today, that sunspot is very active and has a chance of emitting a X-class solar flare. So, you know, which is the largest of them. I believe that's the same type of solar flare that was involved in the Carrington event back in, 1913?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's been the more active. The ones I've been watching over the past couple months, they keep getting more active with more intensity. It's not that you're going to find, you know, hard evidence of this because it'll be kept from you. Another reason to censor the internet, people. Another reason why cybersecurity is coming into play. You know, and that can go back to the question we had about amateur astronomers. I mean, you know, if people in the Southern Hemisphere could see this and did want to upload images, well, there you have a reason for censorship also. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do I have for you, Sheldon? What else can we cover on Wormwood?
Well, there were also these leaks being put out on Fox News and ABC News and even the George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM show about these underground survival bunkers that are being built by the...
Good call. Yes, let's talk about those. Now, we all know about the one up in Denver. Everybody knows about that. What do you know of others, where there are others?
Well, it's interesting. On the 2012 movie, we see these arcs that people are, the elite are going into at the end of the movie. Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, there was this Norwegian politician that decided to blow the whistle about the underground bases being built up there in Norway, which coincidentally is where the Doomsday Seed Vault is at.
Right.
And, this Norwegian politician was talking about something like 18 underground bases underneath Norway that are supposed to be finished by January of 2011, and that there were also arcs being built underground there. So that could be another dot connector.
Hey, who knows? I mean, you can't really put anything, you know. I mean, I personally believe everything and trust nothing, you know.
That's the way to look at it.
I mean, you have to. You can't, like you said, you're not going to get hard evidence until you look up in the sky and you see two suns.
Yeah, when people see asteroids and meteors, you know, slamming into the roofs of their houses, maybe then they'll start to realize there's really something going on.
Well, I mean, we have been seeing that with increased intensity, not slamming into houses, but actually a meteor slammed into the through the roof of a doctor's office. I think it was down in Florida not too long ago.
That was in January, I think.
Yeah, and we have the one you spoke about in Alabama. We have the one that we just spoke about up in the northwestern states, so we're across 5 or 6 states. Big flaming fireball shooting across states, smashing in the ground. No footage, no news coverage, no big deal, everybody.
Your audience may want to keep track of Lucas's website, therabbithole2.com, because he covers a lot of them news stories about rogue meteors and comets and asteroids.
Yes, yes. Sheldon, do you want to take a quick break? And come back for a little bit more. Would that be
sure.
Okay?
Yeah, all right, sure.
let me We're gonna just, since I have no commercial breaks in Blog Talk Radio format, we'll just play a song, you know, get up, get a drink, do whatever you have to do. I'm gonna do the same. And I just wanna give out the call-in number for people one more time.
Wow.
It is, 1-917-889-3064. Guys, call in, questions, comments, you know, let's just have an open discussion about it. So, alright, let's, just take a quick break and we'll come back for a little bit more and then, we'll let you get on with your day. How's that?
Sure, sounds good.
All right. Okay, and we're back. Ah, there we go. All right, let's see if Sheldon's back with us.
Yeah,
Sheldon, you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent, excellent. So just a little explanation of why I played that song to you people listening out there. Supposedly, that song is about something like this. And when it came out and I first saw the video, I had no idea. It was just a bunch of weird stuff thrown together. But once you look at it from this angle, it makes a lot of sense. So that's one of the reasons why I played it. All right, so one thing I want to talk about is from what you know, and like we said, we can only speculate. I know your plans. You don't have to go into those if you don't want to. If you do want to, that's fine, too. Survival. Not according to flood maps or anything like that, but do you think that there is any geographical location besides, I mean, you've mentioned 400 feet above sea level and 100 miles away from the shore. Now, judging from the waves in 2012, I would probably want to be a little higher up than 400 feet above sea level. But, I mean, in your opinion, like I said, I know your plans, but in your opinion, would there be a geographical location that you think would be a better bet? Oh, and this brings me to crop circles, too, so I want to talk about that one more time.
Yeah, you know, it's just hard to really tell what's going to happen in the end, because the Georgia Guidestones themselves say maintain humanity at 500 million. There may only be 10% of the population left. I guess the best way to answer that, all we can do is be as far away as we can from the major metropolitan cities. Even Bill Cooper used to warn about this before they murdered him.
Yep.
And to be at least 400 feet above sea level and to prepare as best you can. I think that's just the best way to answer that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know there's no real answer. Nobody really knows, but it's a question that everybody asks, so we have to cover it. Now, what you mentioned about the crop circles being markers, aren't a lot of the crop circles in England?
Yeah, I think the vast majority of them are. I'd also like to add that as far as preparation, you may want to just try to get as spiritually close as you can to your Creator, because I think he'll supernaturally protect people that are at least letting the other folks in know what's coming down.
Right. Well, going along with that, according to the globalist agenda or the New World Order, whatever anybody wants to call it, they are expecting a mass resurgence of faith as things begin to deteriorate more and more. So I think you're probably right on target with that. And whether you believe in, you know, or whatever God or deity you believe in, you'll probably start believing in that a little bit more as time goes. What you just said coincides with the overall plan as far as I know it to be. But as far as the crop circle, the one thing I wanted to bring up about the crop circles and being in England, I as far as I know, that England isn't very high above sea level. So
yeah,
those,
I haven't looked into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know London is basically on the water. So I just, as far as being markers of safe places to go, I don't know if that would be a real good idea. But like I said, who knows, right? Nobody really knows.
That may be a better question to throw at John Moore.
Yeah, okay. All right. So Sheldon, do you have anything more to add to the whole to this? Any other points that you want to bring up about it? Some questions here, but there are some things you didn't really want to touch on, so I didn't want to go into those.
I'd also like to add that the reason me and John DiNardo think the elite are going underground is initially to escape the solar scorching. Jesse Ventura, he aired a thing called Apocalypse 2012. He did, I believe, 7 episodes, and the last one was the grand finale. And they talked about all these solar storms that are coming and the elite's preparations to get underground. Me and John DiNardo, we think that, you know, the reason the elite have been digging into the earth the last 50 years or so is because of these events that are coming. I mean, if there were going to be riots and civil unrest and all that, they could just blanket the population with their high-tech energy weapons, and they wouldn't need to go underground. So the fact that they're digging in the earth must mean that they know some big event is coming.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I totally agree. There's no need to do that for fear of the population. So it has to be something else.
Yeah, because they already have the control pretty much under population, and they have all these high-tech Tesla weapons. And that's another thing I could add. Before I got into this Planet X research, I came across a scientist out of Clemson University down in South Carolina by the name of Dr. Judy Wood.
And yes.
I learned about her, I think it was July or August of 2008. And I helped get this lady scientist onto at least 12 or 13 different radio shows already. And
I heard her on the Power Hour.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
I got that interview archived on my website, by the way. Well, anyway, this lady woke me up to the reality that what they actually did on 9/11 was they used directed energy weapons to bring those towers down. And that's the reason they still can't rebuild, 9 years after the fact, is because of the energy weapons cause a process known as molecular dissociation. There's still like lingering effects from using the weapons that cause the soil to continue to break down and any structure put up. So that's the reason why you still haven't seen a new World Trade Center put up.
Well,
and she also brought out this fact that there was a hurricane parked outside New York City on the morning of 9/11 called Hurricane Aaron.
Yes.
Well, hurricanes, if you study them, actually function as a supersized Tesla coil. And it's sort of hard to explain all this, but if you dig into it, this totally makes sense to me. This is what they did on 9/11.
Yes, and I heard about when I heard the interview with her on the Power Hour, I looked into that hurricane, and it is there. You go onto the National or the U.S. Hurricane Center website, whatever the official one, and you search the date, you will see it. It was there.
And it was actually on a practically a straight-line trajectory towards New York City 2 or 3 days before 9/11. And then that morning, on 9/11, the hurricane sort of steered itself and headed off in a different direction out towards Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I looked into Judy Wood's stuff a little tiny bit. I really didn't delve into it that much, but the things that I saw were very, very, very interesting, especially the damage to the cars on Broadway Street, which is way far away from where the Twin Towers and these cars were basically, have you seen these pictures, torched, I mean, down to the metal.
Yeah, they were toasted. That's another interesting phenomena about the event.
Which came from the east, by the way. It's on the east side. So if they harnessed energy from the hurricane, it would have gone that route, which was
There's this phenomena that was seen. It's called she calls it instant rustification. Behind one of these buildings near the Trade Center towers, there, this whole lot just full of rusted cars. I mean, cars don't rust that fast.
Right. Right.
And
yeah.
if you folks want to look into her PDF files about her ongoing QTAM lawsuit that she's filed against NIST, the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, if you folks dig into this, you'll find out that two of the defendants on her lawsuit are manufacturers and developers of directed energy weapons.
Yeah, and that'll never make it into and pardon the pun, into the light of day. In mainstream media, it'll never be in there, and so they leave it to people, you know, that really, according to the most of the public, have no credentials to bring this to their attention, and of course it makes you look like a crazy person. But like you said, look into it. L. Sheldon, I just put your website link up in chat for people. I have it on my website, and I have it on my Facebook page also. So I am directing people to your stuff because you have a lot of interesting and informative clips in the archives, videos, interviews, all kinds of stuff. You guys definitely should check out Sheldon's website. It is the Light of Day Radio Show.com. He has a really good site. He's put a lot of time and effort into archiving all this stuff. So
yeah, I actually spend way too much time, but yeah, that's the prime thing on my website, a lot of MP3 files for folks to listen to stuff.
Yeah. Which I think is a lot, it's a lot easier for people to listen to it instead of read it. Our brains are becoming, unable to read for long periods of time, I think.
Right, people are more conditioned now to listen to iPods and that than do any reading, you're right.
I agree. What do you think? Anything else to add? I'm kind of out of questions for you. I'm sure I'll think of 1,000 more as soon as we hang up the phones here, but...
folks need to look into this stuff on their own. I mean, don't depend on NASA to feed you pictures, and don't expect the professional astronomical community to put all this out, because that may be one reason they're getting ready to shut the internet down.
Oh, definitely. Personally, I think that, I've told my listeners before, the information I give you could be all lies, you know? But as far as I know, there is truth in there. And what I mean by it could be all lies is that everything we hear, we really have to take the time and try to figure it out for ourselves, all this stuff, because nobody's going to tell you, you know? And it's kind of like... it's kind of like Morpheus says in The Matrix, you know, nobody can tell you or explain to you what The Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. And anybody who discredits or dismisses anything like this, you really have to, those people, A, probably have never looked into it, and B, are probably scared to actually face it if it is the truth, you know? So
yeah, this whole thing could be a scam. It could be a psyops, but the end result for sure is going to be massive population reduction. I mean, they had to etch that into the Georgia Guidestones. And Lucas, you know, he says maintain humanity at 500 million. Maintain, according to him, means to keep at a certain level after an event. So something big is coming, and it apparently is going to result in massive population reduction.
Well,
another thing I wanted to add is, I have this on my notes here, Darren, that... a few nights ago on George Norrie's show, he mentioned that the WISE spacecraft, the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, discovered 25,000 new asteroids within the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, for them to put that out must mean something, but I'm sure there's something about that they're not telling us.
Yeah, like everything, Sheldon. Never a straight answer. That's NASA, right?
Yeah,
never
NASA, a straight... they're the biggest gas giant in the whole solar system.
a little astronomer humor for you guys out there. Hey, you guys out there, if you want to check out Sheldon's radio show, he does a great show. It's my favorite new radio show. I love it, man. He broadcasts on the Orion Talk Radio Network. That is, you guys know this from my new broadcast starting last Saturday. I'll be on tomorrow at 2. Sheldon broadcasts Sunday mornings at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I must have said Eastern Pacific Time. And he does a great show. And if you miss it, you don't want to stay up late like me. I can't make it to hear it live, but I always listen to it in the morning. Go to his webpage, and you can just hit the – right on the front of the webpage, the archived episode is right there for you to hit.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm the webmaster for my own website. It was actually built by a talk show host up in Phoenix, the Kevin Smith Show.
Yeah.
And I do everything on that website. And if your audience wants to tune in tomorrow night, I'm going to have Jay Widener on as a guest. Now, this is the guy that was actually Jesse Ventura's guide at the Denver airport.
Oh, that guy. Yes, I remember that guy.
White or silvery colored hair, that guy.
Yeah.
I want to ask him an important question, but I'll let your folks just tune into the show to find out what that is.
I will definitely be tuning in, and like I said, I'll provide links, more links on my stuff, so people can hear your show. Wow, that's great. Was he easy to get onto the show?
No, he's been holding off here for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He finally said he'll come on tomorrow night.
Any luck with Lucas?
I'd love to interview Jesse Ventura, but he seems like one of these guys that nobody knows what his email address is.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, what do you think you'd get out of him anyways? I mean, not that I dislike Jesse. I think he seems like a decent guy, but the whole show to me was... there was no reason for it to be so. It was done kind of hokey. I mean, there's definitely great information, but it's done in such a hokey way, you know, a little bit. And it kind of discredited it a little bit, you know.
Right, and you'll notice that they don't dare mention Planet X in that episode. So there is. I know what you mean.
Yeah, no, they don't dare. But they did talk solar storms, and you know, like I said, there was good information as far as that goes. But anyway, Sheldon, I really appreciate you taking the time, man. I think this was a blast. You were my very first guest, my very first interview. So I appreciate you taking the time. I definitely want to do this again somewhere down the road as events unfold, if you're up to it.
Yeah, this has been fun. I enjoyed it, sure.
All right, very cool. So once again, thank you for coming on, and I will be looking forward to listening to your show. And remember, you guys, his show is Sunday morning at 12 a.m., Saturday night, 12 o'clock, whatever you want to call it. Great show, light of day.
All right, talk to you later, Darren. Thanks for having me on board.
All right, Sheldon, thanks for coming, man. I really appreciate it.
Yep, later.
All right. Well, I thought that went pretty well, you guys. I thought we got out some decent information. I'm sorry if I was scattered a little bit and jumped around. I had so many questions, and I had a feeling with a topic like this, it was going to we're going to veer off in different directions at different times. I had a plan to kind of keep it in order, but it didn't quite work out that way. But I thought it worked out well anyways. So. Everybody out there, any questions for me, even though I'm not the Planet X expert, if anybody wants to call in. I still have a half hour blocked for the show, but if there is no other questions, I'll end up ending it. The one thing I want to say, you guys listen out there, don't be so phonophobic. Come on, man. Call in. Don't be scared. I won't bite. You know, I'm way over here. I can't hurt you. Let's see, do we have any stuff? And let me just take a look at what we had going on in chat here. Yes, Brian of Kabbalah, a lot of nice BP oil stuff. Yep, you're exactly right. I agree. There's a comment in chat from Brian of Kabbalah. They are cutting off the heads of all dead animals on the shore so no one can autopsy them properly. They're also fighting people and taking cameras and phones and arresting anyone who gets your BP oil spill. Yes, they actually passed rules and laws, according to Anderson Cooper, where they can, you will be fined $40,000 and charged with a Class D felony if you get too close to any of the cleanup process. So, yes, you are right on the money with that. But I don't want to veer off into another subject. This was a Planet X special. And I guess on that note, you guys, I guess we'll end the program. It's kind of cozy. I don't really want to do it. But, I will tell you this. I did have some questions for Sheldon concerning the connection between UFOs, aliens, and Planet X and that kind of stuff. But as you guys heard, he didn't really want to get into that because he feels it discredits it. So out of respect for that, I didn't really want to go into these other questions that I had. But I think it went well, and I appreciate all you guys taking the time on your Friday afternoon to check out the program. And, you know, like he said, got to go figure it out for yourself. You got to look into it. Don't dismiss it. Keep an open mind. Even the most hardened scientific approach or mathematical approach could be misleading, you know. So, we have a We have, yes, piano to Precious. I agree. Civil disobedience now. Go to Washington. I think we should actually all march on our state capitals, physically remove people, and I think that would get the attention. But that's another program. Let's see. You can't see Planet X, Bigfoot lives. You have to see it with infrared. Get that through your thick Cro-Magnon cranium, will you? That was a comment in chat from Bigfoot Lives. He said, you can see Jupiter just under the moon at dusk, so look for Planet X. You cannot see it. Pay attention. Go to the back of the room. We have another question from Eyes Wide Open. One question about Planet X. Do you know when there was another event this big? Was it the dinosaur age? Well, you heard in the beginning of the show, we weren't quite sure on the timeline of the secular orbit of it. So, you know, I don't know. You know, and what you're doing and what we're relying on is the history we've been taught about extinction and mass cataclysmic events in our Earth's history. Are those true? Is that accurate information? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Bigfoot Lives. I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else, so I had that little attitude because I thought it was a friend of mine, somebody I know. But anyways, So I did have stuff for him related to aliens, but you know. We have another comment here. According to the original Planet X stuff that came out by Zachariah Sitchin, whom I really don't agree with, he said Planet X will be visible by 1997 and hits around 2005. You know, Brian of Kabbalah, no, I don't think everybody forgot that, but, you know, Zachariah Sitchin, I mean, so he was wrong. Doesn't mean that he was wrong with the dates, doesn't mean he was wrong with the info. You know, I think let me just explain the reason I decided to take this direction here and explore this Planet X theory is because I'm looking at the events taking place all over the world. Okay? And we can look at everything from natural events with these crazy weather situations we have, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons, flooding, deadly cold spells, all of this happening within the last year, something's going on, and I am not for one second going to believe that it's caused by CO2. I'm sorry, if that was the truth, then after the last eruption in Iceland, the Earth should probably split in half. I agree. I'm not convinced of anything. Like I said, I believe everything and trust nothing. You know, with the natural event thing going on, plus the complete downward spiral of humanity. I mean, if the basic question is, are things getting better or are things getting worse? I mean, I don't think there's even a question. I mean, we're on the verge of World War III. Since the Nobel Peace Prize winning president has come into power, we've had advanced the military agenda. We're warring in more countries than ever. Yes, even more countries than when George Bush was in office. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You know, so it just seems like things are coming to a crescendo, to a head, to a pinnacle. I mean, something's got to give. And so when you start to factor in a major natural cataclysmic event, it does make a lot of sense. Let me see. I have any more questions here? No, I guess that's it. That's it. But, you know, you guys, great questions in chat. I mean, great discussion in chat. I appreciate it. You brought up some good points, and that's why I wanted to do this, to have open discussion, you know. You try to talk about this at a social gathering, and people are going to, you'll probably be clearing the room, you know. Yes, everybody throws out terms for a pinnacle, or synonyms of a pinnacle. No, and you know, let me make that point. Brian of Kabbalah in chat has a comment. I believe the world is shaking at its foundation, but I can't say this is from Planet X. It would have to be too close to Earth for it to affect us that way. Right. But here's the thing, and this is one of the other reasons why it made me why it made me look into this is because, like I said, we have official notification from NASA, NOAA, and National Academy of Sciences that solar storms are an impending threat and will most likely occur on a massive level. And one of the major effects of that will be the destruction of the power grid. If you guys know anything about the power grid, the way it works is it feeds off of each other. So when a section of the grid goes down, it comes back up because there's other power supplies along the grid that start to power up the part that went down. But if it all goes down, there's nothing to bring it back. Okay? So you start to look at the deterioration of the grid, the deterioration of the infrastructure of our country, and you start to ask yourself, why are they not fixing this? It's things like that that led me to this point. So, you know, it's not a theory, and it's not a conspiracy, and it's not my opinion that the sun is becoming very, very active and having an effect on our planet. And so the whole Planet X theory is saying, well, this is what's causing the sun. Believe me, I pray to God that I really don't believe in. I pray to God that Planet X is not true. I really hope it's not. I would much rather take my chances with the grid going down and living back in 5000 BC type scenario than having to worry about a big iron ball flying by the planet and destroying 90% of the Earth's population. That would be my preference. But like I said, if that is the case, then I want to know. You know, and I'm a person that would like to try to survive something like that. I know many people wouldn't want to, and you know, it's, I guess it's a personal choice at that point. And I agree. We have a comment chat from Bigfoot Lives. The sun doesn't need Planet X to kill us. Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. But if it is a true thing, if it is headed our way, it makes some of the secrecy and all these other dots that we've connected make a lot of sense. So, like I said, I believe everything and I trust nothing, and I am open-minded enough to discuss just about anything. Let me see, anything else here? Okay, all right. Well, I guess that's it. If anybody else doesn't have any more questions or anything, I think I'm going to end this thing. We talked about, though, I will be broadcasting tomorrow on the Orion Talk Radio Network. You can go to the Front's website. It is, you know what, actually, let me get it because my domain name is now attached. Let's see. Yeah, I can. No, you can hear me typing. Okay. Well, that's the last time I try to do that. It is frontradio.net. I tried to throw the link out and almost lost my soundboard, so I'm not going to take that chance. All right, give me 1 second. Let me get it. Hey, it's amateur radio, right? All I have to say, just as this is a personal note here, I don't suggest Toshiba laptops because the keyboard will be the death of you. Okay, it's gonna kill me, I swear. Okay, here we have. Oh, thank you, Brian of Kabbalah. there's the new website for the show. I just made it presentable. I will be adding much more content to it. And like I was saying, I broadcast tomorrow, 2 p.m. on the Orion Talk Radio Network. There is a wise guys in chat. There is a link to the Saturday broadcast. And Monday, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to have Mr. John Moore, Green Beret, military intelligence, 57 combat missions over Vietnam, turned homicide investigator, now a private investigator, and Planet X researcher. So we'll get a whole nother view on this topic on Monday night at 6 o'clock. He'll have a lot more military-type intelligence background on this. As far as geographical information, where to go, what to do, things like that, we could tell that really wasn't Sheldon's forte, but Sheldon had a lot of great info and thought it was a good time. So on that note, you guys, I guess we're going to call it. Let me play you some words of wisdom. And if you hit the, if you go to the front's website and you hit the little speaker icon in the top right, let me see. This will be the message you will hear. So, once again, thanks you everybody for showing up. I appreciate it. I will see you tomorrow, and I will see you on Monday night.
Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.